thing that somewhere when you get older will?
Rome.
Huh?
Rome.
Rome? Okay. Oh, what about you? Is there somewhere you want
to go? I want to go to the desert.
You want to go to the desert? Okay.
I want to see every single kind of sporting event.
You want to see every single kind of sporting event. Whoa. That's cool. What about when you grow up? Is there anything you thought you might want to be when you grow up? Josie, what do you think?
I want to be a police.
A police officer? Oh, great. Will?
A basketball player.
A basketball player? Mm-hmm. Jaden?
A coach or a doctor?
A coach or a doctor. A lady?
A firefighter.
A firefighter? Oh, that's cool. Well, so those are awesome plans. And so you guys have, usually when you have those plans, you have to make a plan, right? So you either have to figure out how you're going to get there, or what school you're going to have to go, or how much money you're going to have. Well, God has plans for you too. And so I'm going to read a verse from Jeremiah 29:11. It's from the Bible, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So your plan, God has plans for you, and they might not be the plans you think they are. Like maybe, Josie, like if you're sitting at school and you're going to eat lunch and you really want to sit by one of your friends, but God, something in your head says, oh, there's some another little girl or person over there that they might want me to sit by them because they're new or something. Maybe that's God's plans for you. Or so maybe your plan might be different than God's, but God's plan is when he's going to tell you, and if you're listening, he will tell you what his plans are. Okay, so let's pray. Thank you, God, for these kids that have come here today. Thank you for their lives, and always that let them always know that you'll be with them, and if they're listening, they'll always hear your word. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. He said God said a word to you. That's exciting. Okay. So I think
you can go downstairs. You are
to
welcome
do an activity.
To head downstairs or and have fun with Miss Alice. Yeah. If you'd like to go down, you may. If you want to sit here, we'd love to have you stay here. Some of the songs that we do, and I never know what they're going to be either, and I love that. That's the best part of this job, is not worrying about the music. The words of that song will really strike me, and there's two that we did today that really speak to me. I'm going to start with America the Beautiful, that Diana played for us and that we enjoyed singing to today. It is a blessing to live in this country, is it not?
It
is. If you watch the news and look around the world, as hard as things are here, it is a step above, so we are so blessed to be here. I think we're coming into a year of great turmoil in our country. Do you agree? We're headed to an election year, and it looks like it's going to be brutal. I want to remind us as Christians that the great thing about living as in America is we get to vote our conscience. The other thing that God asks us to do is to love one another. Love, not agree on everything. I'm going to ask that we continue to make this a place of love. And we make this a place where we find what we have in common, and we leave our political differences and ideals at the door in this coming year. Can we agree to that? Not everybody here is going to have the same opinion. This is not where that belongs. This is where Jesus and his love belong. Can we do that? That song made me think of that. Christ said, they'll know you're my disciples by your love, not by your Facebook rant. Well, we all have great opinions, and those are valuable. The wonderful thing is you get to take those opinions and your conscience and go vote, and we ask you to do that. The other song that really struck me was Just a Closer Walk with Thee, because it fits perfectly what we're going to be talking about, what we've been talking about, which is learning about God's will in my life. And how do we do that? And we started with Gideon and the angel coming to speak to him and putting fleeces out. And then we decided fleeces may not really be a sign of faith. They may be a sign of questioning what you already heard God clearly say. And then we talked last week about how we often like to have an out loud voice. You ever trying to make a decision and you just want God to speak from above in an out loud voice. do this. Or maybe we want a formula. Plug A into B, add C and D, and at the end, ding, out comes God's will. The answer, oh, you know, there'll be angels singing and poof, out it'll come. And yet we all know life is not that simple, is it? God's has placed in us the ability to think and to reason, and he expects us to use that. If there was no thinking needed, if all you needed to do was to hear that booming voice from heaven, there would be no need for you to have this, would there? If I'm just going to give instructions and I say, I want to look just like this, that doesn't take any thought, does it? It doesn't. And so last week we started talking about how if we're going to know the will of God, the first step is being in relationship with God. Professor J. Budzawiski, isn't that a great name? He's from the University of Texas, and he's written a short article on how do you discern God's will, and he has three different ideas that he gives you. But the first one he starts with really ties in with what I said with relationship, and he suggests the first step is preparation. I was like, what in the world does that have to do with finding God's will? Preparation. And he defines it like this: seek God's help to become the right kind of person inside. Develop the right spiritual habits. Otherwise, he said, you don't have a chance of finding his will. Unfortunately, I think we look around us sometimes and we compare our walk, our style, our habits with others, and we wonder if we're doing it the right way. We've talked about that. You ever looked at someone and thought, boy, they seem really close to God. They've got it all together, don't they? God probably speaks to them at morning coffee every single day. And then there I go. I'm not as good as the other person. I didn't get up at 5 a.m. I haven't been here for an hour on my knees, and my journal has big blank spots in it. And then I can start to doubt my connection with God. And I can start to think, I'm not hearing God like I should. Maybe I should be doing fill in the blank like so-and-so. And now I tell you, and now I read you that sentence that developing the right spiritual habits, and you say to me, great, you know, more things to do. There's something I'm not doing. And you're telling me that then and only then if I start developing all these habits, that's how I'm going to know God's will for my life. And that's not what I'm saying. What I want us to think about instead is, we talked about this in our class this morning downstairs, God has wired every one of us differently. You can take tests and have your four personality types, right? And there's four, you know, depending on what test you take, right? And then you add to that maybe what are the ways that speak to you. We've been learning love languages. When you talk to me, when you do this for me, boy, that really lights my fire. That doesn't really, but this does. And then God made us male and female, and you add that filter to it. And then you add the filter to it of how we were raised. And every single one of us becomes this unique blend, a person in front of God. And so what speaks to me and what speaks to you, what draws us into relationship with God may look different for every one of us. We're going to call them pathways to God. There's two books that speak to this. One is called Sacred Pathways by Gary Thomas, and he goes into great detail about this. And another book you'll find more information on, this is Courageous Leadership. But both of them draw from the idea that God has made us all different, and therefore how we engage with God is going to look different. Sacred pathways, he says, are like doors into a room where I feel particularly close to God. Luke 10:27 is a phenomenal verse. It's one you probably know by heart. And it goes like this. The man answered, Jesus had said, what does the law of Moses teach you? How do you read it? Because he wants to know, how do I inherit eternal life? Jesus said, well, what do you know? And the man responds with this quote from Deuteronomy. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says to him, you got it. Do this and you live. Ta-da! That's it. Do this and you live. We're going to keep coming back to that passage. What do I mean by pathways? We're going to talk about a number of them over the next coming weeks, but I'm going to start with mine so you can kind of see what I'm talking about. One of the first pathways that we talk about is the relational pathway. With all your heart. Sometimes that's the first thing that comes to the front with me, my heart. Relational pathway people find that being with others who love God makes everything twice as meaningful. We're going to talk about the contemplative person next week. And that isn't necessarily true for them. It is for me. That's why I'm here. Being with you. You will find if you're relational, you may find it difficult to flourish in your walk with Christ if it involves a lot of solitude. Being a nun would ruin me because I don't do solitude very well. It isn't how God wired me. If you told me I have to go somewhere and be quiet for a long time, you've probably discovered it will feel to me like solitary confinement. I will feel suffocated. I will feel frustrated. When I study in isolation all the time, it feels like empty homework. Because I thrive on engaging with you about what we're learning. Sharing what's going on that God might be doing. Doing it together. Oh, that's my favorite thing. And I connect more with God when I can do it with other people. I find that lights my fire more than a lot of other places. I can experience a spiritual dullness if I try and do it by myself all the time because my pathway is relational. That's just not how God wired me. How do I grow then? If this is my personality, how do I grow in relationship with God if that's how he wired me? You add a big dose of relationship then into your pursuit of God. I do read Monday night Bible study. I try to make sure I get together with a couple people during the week if I can, because if you leave me by myself for very long, I start to wither on the vine. When I'm studying, praying, praising God in song, being on a ministry team with other believers, it makes me flourish. It makes me really want to connect with God. I go home from Sunday and go, yes, you know, ta-da! And then by Thursday, I'm like, well, you know. Because that's how I'm wired, is to be on a relational pathway. Get involved with others. For me, time spent one-on-one with God is important. But being alone day after day with no one to share what I'm discovering about God with leaves me feeling isolated and depressed. So if I want to really connect with God, and you give me a book and a Bible, and you tell me to go sit over there and pray hard and journal what I'm learning, and you leave me there for very long, my mind is wandered. That's not how I connect. I can do it for a little while, but it's not how I connect. I'm wired to thrive off of the back and forth interactions with other people. When I embrace and accept that this is how God made me, I can move into the areas he calls me because I am filled up in my heart as well as having knowledge in my head. They go hand in hand. If I were going to give you a possible Bible example of someone who probably was wired this way, I would say the Apostle John might be one. John is called the beloved disciple. He was Jesus. They consider him kind of his best friend. And if you read John's writings, and especially 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he talks over and over and over and over and over about loving one another, being in community, loving one another, how we treat each other in community, how we love one another. The tradition of the church tradition is that finally they said, John, every Sunday, they'd help him in. He was very old. He'd sit down and he would say, beloved, love one another. You say that every week. And the church tradition said he would say, if this is done, it is enough. Because what does love encompass? John, I think, was probably very relational. Well, that might not be you. Let's talk about another pathway. The intellectual pathway. With all your mind, love the Lord your God. Heart comes up first for me. For some people, mind comes up first. And these are people whose minds need to be fully engaged to bring along their heart, because that's how God's wired them. They'll listen to testimonials of people sharing their walk with God, and they'll say, where's the beef? Oh, it's all feelings and hearts and flowers. We need more data. They need more theological data to chew on. That's how they're wired. I asked Chris if I could share. Chris and I have had some great conversations. Chris is wired like this, and he started his conversation this morning by saying, I found online this study that could go along with, what does Chris do? Chris is wired. He reminds me of my dad. I love it because it's so like my dad. This needs to be engaged as well. And when you engage this and start firing all kinds of cylinders, they really light up. You have lit their fire. You'll find that they don't need just a Bible. They usually need a commentary and maybe a Bible dictionary, maybe an encyclopedia, maybe even a map. Because when you get all that information, it lights their fire, because that's how God wired them. They like classes, seminars, events that challenge their thinking. And once their minds are full of truth, then the heart can fully engage. Now, I like information. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate information. You put me in a meeting where we're not going anywhere, and pretty soon I take over. Where are we going? You know, but I want to have fun while we do it. But where are we going? But for the intellectual, all of that comes together when their mind is more engaged. So if you're going to grow in your relationship with God, and he's wired you on an intellectual pathway, don't apologize for being you. We need everybody to make a body. Some of you are going to be ears. Some of you are going to be eyeballs. Some of you are going to be mouths. Some of you are going to be hands. Some of you are going to be feet. And without all of those components, it's not a complete body, is it? It is not. You need every one of those. Don't apologize for being you. Create a pathway that involves the development of your spiritual mind. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, and watch that fire with God, engaging with God, light up. Possible Bible example, I think it's Paul. Remember, Paul told us, this is so good, I love this, Romans 12, and we used this as our text last week. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Here. Then Paul says, you will know to learn God's will for you, which is perfect and pleasing and good. What do you have to do? Engage your mind. Paul, most likely, was intellectual. Let's do one more for today. Let's talk about the creation pathway. A warm welcome to all those of you who feel closest to God when you're outside. When you're on the back of your horse. When you're riding on the tractor. When you're out in the mountains. When you're down at the beach. This is where you feel closest to God. This is what draws you in. If I stick you in a city, in a car, and I leave you there for days on end, you are not thriving. Part of you needs to get out and get into nature. Often these are the people who will see things in nature or remind them of something of God. That giant rock formation reminds them of how steady and solid God is. That beach reminds them of God's cleansing. It comes and it goes. They prefer to be outside for their devotions. Time for reflection, time to be with others. They want to do it surrounded by God's creation. Some people, you bring them out here to the country, and they're like, where's the Safeway? You laugh. When I moved here from Portland, that was a big change. I mean, I like nature and all. But do you know how far it is to go and get a box of Jell-O at a good price? 70 miles round trip. And I appreciate nature. That isn't necessarily how I'm wired. But for those people, if they will learn to engage with God, if they will take advantage of those opportunities as often as they can, this is where I feel connected. And do it. Take that Bible. Take your Bible on your iPad, on your phone, and go sit outside. Well, I'm with a big coat right now. What does it take for you to engage with God? If you're going to grow with God, and this is how you're wired, develop spiritual habits, and we're going to use that word habits in the sense of what I do that makes me connect regularly. Spend time in nature often. Because these are the people who are refreshed when they do that. And each of these pathways, that's what we're talking about. This is when I feel, oh yeah. And it's different for everybody. It is different for every person. I think maybe John the Baptist might have been this person. Where did John the Baptist live? Out in the wilderness, eating locusts and wild honey. Really? You know, he didn't have a house inherited from his parents? You know, he probably did. This is where he was close to God, was out in nature. They thought he was kind of crazy out there in his camel hair coat. But that's where he connected with God. Where is it? What is it that draws you in? You need to find that. But let's come back then to the original question, because how can I know God's will for my life? Why talk about pathways? What does that have to do with finding God's will for my life? We're going to go back a little farther. If you're going to know what God wants you to do, you're going to have to get to know God. If I want to know how my husband feels, I have to get to know him. If I'm going to know what it is that makes him go, yeah, I have to get to know him. That's what relationship is all about. That's why we talk about pathways. What are the ways that you regularly engage that light your fire? One of the names of God is Father. We say Heavenly Father. And maybe your earthly father was no example of what God is. And when I use the word father, it can be a barrier rather than drawing you in. But I want you to try and set aside the earthly impression you had of your father. I want you to think of somebody you knew that is a good father. And I want you to think about that for a minute. Whether you're a parent with a child, or you're an adult who has mentored youth, or you're a teacher who has taught, would you want that child to come in to talk with you every morning and say, tell me exactly what you want me to do today? All right, we've got the answer. They leave. You leave. Have a good day. And they come back, and at the end of the day, they tell you exactly how they did that. Would that make you feel like a successful parent or teacher or mentor? Or may I offer the other option? Would you delight in open and honest and joyful conversations where you encourage, you build them up, you pour love into, you offer guidance, and then later you have time to talk about how it went, what they learned, what they'll do differently next time? Ooh, that didn't go very well, did it? Let's not do that again. Because isn't that what growing relationships are all alike about? Isn't that what we want? We want to be healthy as we make decisions. We want children who make healthy decisions. And sometimes you ever had a child like this? Well, I can't decide. You decide for me. And as they grow, what do? We say, nope, this one's yours. I'm right here. Either way, I'm right here beside you. You make a choice. Why do we do that? Because that grows them, that matures them, and that's what God wants with us. Growing, mature, vibrant people. Do you take your child to Baskin Robbins? We did this before. All right, here's 31 flavors. You want chocolate or vanilla? What a letdown that would be, wouldn't it? You ever done that? Or you take your kid in and they go back and forth and look, they get that big cone and they eat it and they're like, ugh. Well, let's not pick that one ever again. Is it a disappointment to you that you paid for an ice cream they don't like? Or that didn't go very well? Or is it a lesson learned? And we move on. If we're going to know what God wants us to do with our lives, it means being connected and talking to him and trusting that he's going to lead us. And we're going to keep stepping out and doing the next right thing. And if it's not what God wants, we're going to trust that he's going to nudge us back to where he wants us. Because I'm using all my heart and all my soul and all my strength and all my mind to engage with him. Because enjoying time with him, growing in relationship with him, knowing what lights my fire, that's the goal. This life is about being in relationship with God. And we have the privilege to do that. And to know that God understands who we are and how he's made us. And he loves that. He loves that. Lord, thank you that you have made every one of us unique. You could have made cookie cutters, robots, Lord, to where we just all had to nod and do and say exactly every day what you'd ask. But yet you have created us with free will, with a desire to grow and to learn and to experience things. And thank you, Lord, we get to do it with you. Will you give us wisdom to know when you're speaking and when you're silent, when to step forward and when to stand still, because we want to do what honors you with our lives. Thank you for this time again today. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Would you be standing? My prayers is this week you will find those ways to interact with God that just light your fire. Go in the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.